Thanks for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, we're looking back at some Yankee baseball from the past. October 21st is actually a pretty busy day in Yankee history, so we'll look at those games. And Chris Bryant of the recently exiting San Francisco Giants thinks that bad umpiring, and they should know about it because their series ended on a really bad call, he thinks that bad umpiring in the playoffs can be helped by more replay and reviews. So I'll have some thoughts about that and more.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Stacey Gottsoulias. Welcome to Locked On Yankees. It is Thursday, October 21st, 2021, and you can listen to us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Odyssey. You can watch us on YouTube, and you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So as I said earlier in the week, next week we'll be doing player reviews. That's what I'll be spending my weekend doing. I'm going to pretend like I'm a baseball writer again and write everything out. And we'll go through players. I don't think we'll spend one episode on one player. We might take a group of players and do one in each segment. I'll see how everything goes and the timing and all of all that. But I just wanted to give you a heads up that that's what you have to look forward to next week. We're going to start doing the postmortem on 2021. So let's get the Chris Bryant stuff out of the way. And we'll talk about stuff that's happening in the playoffs. So Boston is heading to Houston down 3-2. Yeah. I don't know. I said this as the series began. You know, for Yankee fans, there's no good outcome from this from this series. I think the Astros winning is the better one. I really do, because everyone expected the Astros to do well this year. No one expected the Red Sox to do well. People were picking them to be fourth in the division right ahead of Baltimore. Everyone expected the Rays, the Yankees, and the Jays to be fighting out for the first, or fighting each other for the first three spots, and that's just not what happened. So I think the Astros winning the ALCS, as much as it's going to be annoying to watch, is the better outcome. And they have two chances to win at home against Boston starting tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. The Dodgers find themselves down 3-1 to the Braves. The Braves kind of went off late in the game yesterday. And Eddie Rosario, he has come out of nowhere to just destroy the Dodgers. That's the fun thing about the playoffs, especially when your team's not involved in the playoffs and you get to watch other teams' fans go through things and watch other teams. Like, you have, when you have heroes like that that come out of nowhere, and someone who was traded because he wasn't doing well, and then he wasn't doing well anyway, and then he just came out of nowhere in the playoffs and he's like the leader of the team. And it's just, it's fun to watch. Not fun for Dodgers fans. And Justin Turner basically blew out his hamstring last night. And I don't know why he even ran that ball out. He wasn't going to be safe. I mean, I know people will be like, well, he's a baseball player. He should be running to first hard. You never know if they're going to overthrow the ball, this and that. But his hamstring was already bothering him. He had a neck issue. And he just, yeah, that was not fun to watch. So the Dodgers are up against the wall, but they were up against the wall last year. They were down 3-1 and then ended up beating the Braves. But I don't know. This feels different. Plus, there's no Clayton Kershaw. That's a big deal. I know they have Max Scherzer. I know they have different guys on the pitching staff, but not having Clayton Kershaw, even older Clayton Kershaw, is a big blow for them. So Chris Bryant said that maybe the bad umpiring can be fixed in the playoffs if more plays were reviewable. Now, yes, I agree. I mean, especially with the way the Giants and Dodgers series ended. You can't end a series on a check swing call like that. You know, I mean, I don't think he would have gotten a hit against Scherzer anyway, but Flores, there we go. You could tell my brain was trying to figure out who it was. I'm like, Wilmer Flores. And then it came to my head. Yes. I mean, I don't know if he would have gotten a hit against Scherzer, but you just can't end a series, especially a series that was that good and, you know, neck and neck and everything was down to the wire. Like that series, even though it was only a 5-game, was very similar to the 0-3 series in the ALCS between the Yankees and the Red Sox. They were matched up really evenly all year, and it came down to the last game. And for it to end on a bad check swing call, just something like that should be reviewable. What are the other plays that aren't reviewable that should be? Balls and strikes, you can't really do much about that. You know, there is no real universal strike zone. All these guys have different zones. Some guys favor pitchers, other guys favor hitters. Some guys are egregiously bad and call balls 5 inches off the plate as strikes. Other guys don't even know when a ball is right down the middle and call it a ball. I mean, it's just, you can't really do anything about that. But I think the whole check swing thing, yeah, that should be reviewable because the first base and third base umps can screw up. And we saw it in the wild card game. The Yankees got screwed twice by bad check swing calls. And the Red Sox also, I think at least once it happened to the Red Sox too. So yeah, I think that sort of play could be reviewable, but other stuff that isn't reviewable, you know, balls and strikes, no. But the fact that the players are coming out and talking about the bad umpiring, and it's not just fans bitching about it, it's bad. And I said this on yesterday's show. Baseball is trying to find new fans. And so far in the playoffs, with the way games have been managed, with the way games have been played, with the way they've lasted, with the way the umpires have been umpiring, I don't understand how they could think they would ever get new fans to watch baseball. It's such a slog. It really is. It's such a chore to watch, which stinks because, as I said earlier in the segment, you have guys like Rosario who are doing things that they normally don't do. And that's a fun part of baseball, but the rest of it is just annoying to watch. And I mean, can they do something about the umpiring? Maybe next year in the playoffs, don't pick so many bad ones to be in the playoffs, you know, maybe pick the better umpires who have better ratings. And, you know, there are a couple of accounts on Twitter. One of them is run by a young kid. I think he's the umpire auditor account, but I'm not 100% sure. So I don't want to be wrong about that, but they come out with heat maps to show how the umps do. They go with the accuracy in the zone, out of the zone, all that stuff. And Laz Diaz, that game in Boston the other night, horrible. And as I said, the call that really pissed off Boston fans, and then the Astros inning was extended and then they scored 7 unanswered runs, you know, 2 outs, 2 strikes. And then he calls what could have been a strike, what should have been a strike, a ball. And then all hell broke loose. The call against JD Martinez was worse. That thing was like half a foot off the plate. So yes, reviewable, more reviewable plays, yes, that'll help the playoffs, but also picking better umpires to be in the playoffs, that'll help the playoffs. So this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with Rock Auto on them at home. You have your phone in your pocket. You can save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Once again, thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. So as I teased, we have some Yankee games to look back at. 3 wins, 1 loss. I know. I don't usually like looking at the losses, but this loss was an important one. And we'll save that one for last. So let's see. Let's go most recent to, that's how we'll do it. Most recent to furthest away, because the furthest away is the loss, and we'll get into it. Okay, so game three of the 2003 World Series against the Marlins. Yeah, remember that one? Ugh. What a horrible World Series. I still think that they were just drained from the ALCS that I mentioned in the last segment. Weren't you exhausted from watching the ALCS? So I'm surprised the Yankees didn't come out and get swept by the Marlins after that series. They didn't. They lost in six. Now, this game they won, game three, 6-1 in Florida, because they were the Florida Marlins back in 2003. The attendance was 65,731 at Pro Players Stadium. The game only lasted 3:21, not bad. The Yankees scored six runs on six hits with one error, and the Marlins only scored one run in the first inning. The Yankees bunched their runs in the ninth inning. Oh, yes, I remember that now. Okay. We'll go through the lineups because, you know, I love doing this. And, you know, you'll have some funny moments of, oh, yeah, I remember him. Not for the Yankees, for the Marlins. Okay, Yankees. Alfonso Soriano at second. Derek Jeter at shortstop. Jason Giambi at first base. Bernie Williams, center field. Hideki Matsui, left field. Jorge Posada, catcher. Kareem Garcia, right field. Aaron Boone, third base. And Moose was your pitcher. For the Marlins, Juan Pierre, center field. I was going to quote the Beyonce song and the line from Jay-Z in it, but I'm not going to do it. Luis Castillo, second base. Ivan Rodriguez, catcher. Miguel Cabrera, right field. Derek Lee, first base. Mike Lowell, third base. Jeff Conine, left field. Alex Gonzalez, shortstop. And your starting pitcher, Josh Beckett. Yes, I'm making that face for a reason. The Yankees were 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position. The Marlins were 2-for-9. Moose lasted seven innings, gave up that one run on seven hits with one walk and nine strikeouts. Then Mo came in, got the save, the two-inning save, mind you, gave up one hit, struck out two. Josh Beckett picked up the loss. He pitched 7 1/3, only gave up two runs on three hits with three walks and 10 strikeouts. So, yeah, he had a good game. You know, it's just Moose was a little better there and was able to keep the Marlins off the ball, not off the board, but only allow them to score that one run in the first inning. Dontrell Willis came in, got an out after giving up a hit and walking two batters. Chad Fox pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up two runs, gave up a home run. Why don't I remember who hit the home runs? Oh, God, it was Boone. That's right. That's right. Aaron Boone and Bernie Williams in the ninth inning. Boone hit it off Fox, and Bernie Williams hit it off Braden Looper. There's a blast from the past. You remember that name? Yes. Now, your umpires, because we're talking about umpires in the last segment, Gary Darling at home, Jeff Kellogg at first. Don't get me started on Jeff Kellogg and what he did in the 2004 World. No, I wish the Yankees made the World Series. ALCS. Ed Rapuano at third. Tim Welke in left field. Randy Marsh in left field. Larry Young in right field. Welke was at third. Rapuano was at second. Now, how did they score in the first? Why don't I remember this? And I think I was... was I at a bar watching this? Juan Pierre hit a double. Luis Castillo struck out swinging. Ivan Rodriguez hit a fly ball to right. But Pierre didn't advance on that. And then Cabrera hit a single that scored Pierre. And that's all they got in the game. And then, as I said, Boone and Bernie hit home runs. Matsui hit a single in the eighth inning off Dontrell Willis. And Jeter scored. Giambi made it to second. And that put the Yankees up 2-1. How did they score? Oh, that's right. Okay. Top of the fourth. Jorge Posada walked with the bases loaded. Had they get the bases loaded? Jeter hit a double. Giambi walked. Matsui was hit by a pitch. And then Posada was walked. And that's how they scored that run. And then the runs that came in the eighth and the ninth. Even Looper. What? What a flashback that is. Yeah, so Matsui in the eighth hit that single off Dontrell Willis that scored Jeter. And then in the ninth inning, Boone hit his home run. It was a solo shot. He led off the inning on the second pitch he saw from Chad Fox. And then after Soriano walked, Braden Looper came in. He hit Jeter with a pitch. David DeLucci, that's right, he was on the Yankees, hit a fly ball to left. And then Bernie hit a home run that scored Soriano and Jeter, along with himself, obviously. And the Yankees won 6-1. There's one positive game from the 2003 World Series. I feel bad. My brother went to game 6, and he was so excited to be at a World Series game. And in my head, I was thinking, he's going to a game without me. That's going to be bad juju. I was right. I was right. The year 2000, first game of the World Series against the Mets. 55,913 people were at Yankee Stadium. I was one of them. My first ever World Series game. That was a fun night. It was also unseasonably warm that night, if I recall correctly. You know, sort of, it's similar to what it is right now, because it was 68 when that game started. So I was wearing a t-shirt that night, which, you know, it's the end of October and wearing a t-shirt at night, it's, you know, it seemed odd. But we were sitting in row R of the upper deck in the old stadium, obviously, because it was 2000. And it was right before the outfield bent by the foul pole. So we were ahead of the foul pole on the first base side. And we were so high up, we were underneath the lights, and you had to cover your food and your drinks because bugs were flying into the lights, dying, you know, getting fried by the lights and then falling into your stuff. It was disgusting and ick. But yeah, that was a fun game. We'll get into it in a moment. But first, BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite casino games from Vegas, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, just for a brief moment, can we talk about the Knicks game? Because I thought the Yankees stressed me out enough in 2021, and then the Knicks have to go to double overtime with the Celtics in their opener. Like, what? Oh my God. I mean, at least they won, but let's not do that again. I can't handle 81 more games like that, so let's not do that. Holy hell. So 2000, Yankees-Mets. Al Leiter was your starter for the Mets. Andy Pettit was your starter for the Yankees. Not shocking. I've said this many times on the show. I'll say it again. Andy Pettit is the pitcher I saw the most in person ever. Aside from Mo, obviously, because you'd always see him come into games and save them. But starter-wise, there were two playoff runs that I only saw Pettit. 2003, 2009. Yeah, I think that, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I saw Andy Pettit a lot. And, you know, luckily he won a lot of the games that I went to. He did not win this one because it went to the 12th inning, if you remember correctly. Jose Vizcaino walked off. I'm not going to go through the whole game, but I would like to discuss Paul O'Neill's infamous walk. Holy crap. So the Yankees found themselves down 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth. It was very exciting. Benitez came in. He replaced John Franco. And Jorge Posada hit a fly ball to right center for the first out. Then Paul O'Neill comes up. 10 pitches. And being there for a 10-pitch at bat, especially when your team's down by one, there's one out, it's against the Mets, it's really, you're just like, ugh, you know? And he walks. And I look at my friend Julie and I said, he is scoring. They're going to tie this up. There's no way they're not tying this up. So he walks, and then Luis Polonia pinch hits for Scott Brosius, hits a single to right. O'Neill makes it to second. Jose Vizcaino, the hero later in the night, hits a single. O'Neill makes it to third. And then Chuck Knoblauch hits the sack fly that scores O'Neill, and then Jeter strikes out. So Jeter didn't have any walk-off heroics, but that's fine. We make it through a clean 10th, a clean 11th. Well, I mean, relatively speaking, some stuff happened in those innings. And it was so, you know, as I said, it was my first World Series game. I said this on the show the other day, 1999 was my first year with season tickets, and I missed. I think they swept the division series, won the ALCS in five, and swept the World Series. I had the game after the sweep in the division series. I had game six for the ALCS, and I had game five of the World Series. So I didn't get to go to any playoff games in 1999. So this was my first experience. And I mean, Yankees, Mets, especially in 2000, what more could you ask for? So the bottom of the 12th, let's set this up. Bernie Williams against Turk Wendell. Oh, there's a memory. Turk Wendell. He was wacky, that guy, with his necklace. The teeth? Isn't that what it was? It was teeth or something. It was something. Everyone's talking about Jock Peterson and his pearls that he's been wearing, and I kind of dig the pearls. I think it's pretty cool. So anyway, Bernie Williams grounds out. Tino Martinez hits a single to right. Jorge Posada hits a double. Of course, Tino can't score on the double because it's Tino. He ran like he had a loaded diaper with a piano strapped to his back. They intentionally walk Paul O'Neill. Luis Soho hits a pop fly foul to the catcher. And I remember when it happened because I was like, you know, I was like, oh my God, please don't allow this to go to the 13th inning because I really thought the Yankees were going to blow it. And then Jose Vizcaino on the first pitch hits the single to left. Tino scores, Yankees walk off. And I experienced my first World Series game and it's a walk off. I mean, could it get any better than that? No, it could not. So that was a fun one. 1998, the Yankees sweep the Padres on October 21st. They win the game 3-0. Andy Pettit against Kevin Brown. Andy Pettit gets the win. Kevin Brown gets the loss. Mo gets the save, of course, because that's how it was for the Yankees back then. Now, they scored their three runs. I just lost it on the page. Sorry. They scored their three runs later in the game. It was 0-0. It was pretty tense, but not really because the Yankees were up 3-0 in the series. And even if they dropped the game, it wouldn't be a big deal because they probably would win the next one. The Padres didn't stand a chance after that grand slam, you know, the missed strike call on Tino and then him hitting the grand slam. It was just kind of like, yeah. Kind of like Oakland didn't have a chance after the flip play. It was the same sort of thing. So, top of the sixth. Bernie Williams hit a ground out that scored Jeter. I know, not exciting. But hey, and then World Series MVP Scott Brosius hit the ball that scored the first run of the top of the eighth. And then Ricky Ledet hit a sack fly to make it 3-0. And the Yankees win. And everything is happy and hunky-dory. And then finally, let's get to the game I was alluding to. Game two, of the 1996 World Series. Monday, October 21st, 1996. 56,340 people are at Yankee Stadium, including my brother and my father. I was not. I was up at school. The Braves beat the Yankees 4-0, and that doesn't seem like a big deal, but considering the Braves won the first game 12-1, and outscored them 16-1 in the first two games in Yankee Stadium, people were thinking the Yankees were dead. And then it turns out this would be the last game that the Yankees would lose in 1996 because they went on to win four straight. God, I miss 1996. And how is it 25 years ago? How? How is it 25 years ago? That's crazy. Oh my God. Let's go through the lineups because you know I love doing this. Marquise Grissom, center field, Mark Lemke, second base, Chipper Jones, third base, Fred McGriff, first base, Javi Lopez, catcher, Jermaine Dye, right field, Andrew Jones, 19-year-old Andrew Jones, left field, Terry Pendleton, DH. Actually, they didn't allow a home run to Andrew Jones in that game. That's good. Terry Pendleton, DH, Jeff Blauser, shortstop, Greg Maddux was your starter. Tim Raines in left, Wade Boggs at third, Bernie Williams in center field, Tino Martinez at first, Cecil Fielder DH, Paul O'Neill right field, Mariano Duncan at second base, Joe Girardi catching, Derek Jeter shortstop. Jimmy Key was your starter. Jimmy Key is the one that gave up, I believe, if I recall correctly. Yeah, he gave up all four runs. He pitched six innings, gave up four runs on 10 hits with two walks, no strikeouts. But none of the Yankee pitchers gave up home runs, so that's good. You know, Graham Lloyd came in, pitched two-thirds of an inning, got two strikeouts. Jeff Nelson pitched an inning and a third, got two strikeouts. Mo pitched an inning, got a strikeout. Maddox pitched eight, gave up six hits, obviously no runs, only had two strikeouts. And Mark Wohlers came in, pitched an inning, gave up a hit, struck out three. The Braves didn't score in bunches. They scored one in four separate innings, the first, the third, the fifth, and the sixth. But again, it's the last time the 1996 Yankees lost. And I will tell you this story. I said I was up at school. My friends and I used to play this goofy game where you took the aces of a deck of cards, and the heart meant yes. Oh, heart yes. Spade no. Club maybe. Diamond definitely. And you would ask questions, and if things matched with the cards. So I was with my roommate slash housemate, Stephanie. She was my roommate the year before, my housemate that year. And I said, are the Yankees going to win the World Series? And it took a few times. It got to yes. And I said, are they going to win the next four games? Because Joe Torre guaranteed that they would. He guaranteed it to George Steinbrenner. And it took a couple times. Definitely. And I looked at her. I'm like, nice. Okay, the Yankees are going to win the World Series. Okay, I feel good about this. Why would I even think that that card game would do anything? But it was right. We're going to talk more about the games because they're coming up. The anniversaries are coming up. Those games in Atlanta, especially the Larritz game. You know what I'm talking about. We have to talk about that. Even if it's, I think the anniversary of that game is over the weekend, but we're going to talk about it. I'll talk about it anyway, because that was just, what a game. And then even the fifth game, the 1-0 game, another one. Those are the kind of playoff games that when you're not a fan of the two teams, you kind of like watching them because you're just like, wow, I can't imagine if I was a fan of either one of these teams, what I'd be feeling. And when you're a fan of either one of those teams, you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, my housemate in college, he's like, do you need a paper bag? Because I was hyperventilating watching the games. He's like, do you need a paper bag? Are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. So yeah. Ha, 1996, 25 years ago. That's just crazy to me. I can't believe it. And I tell all of my fellow Locked On hosts who root for teams who haven't won in a long time, haven't won since they were born, because, you know, a lot of my fellow hosts are a lot younger than me. I tell them, and I mean this sincerely, I want some of them to experience what it's like for your team to win the World Series for the first time in a long time. Now, I know a lot of people will say, you know, like roll their eyes at the fact that 18 years was a big deal for Yankee fans, but we're getting close to it now. it was a big deal, especially for someone my age. We were around for 77 and 78, but we didn't remember 77 and 78. We were 3 and 4 years old. And our first real baseball memory was the Yankees losing to the Dodgers in 81. So when they won in 96, it was a big deal. How could it not be? So I want fans of other teams to feel that way. Pirates. Yeah, I feel like the Pirates, but not with that ownership. It's not going to happen for a really long time. So the Blue Jays, maybe. God, if they weren't in our division, maybe I'd be a little more like, oh, yeah, let's see the Blue Jays win. But I don't know. Maybe. I don't know about that. So anyway, Chris Bryant, I agree with you. I do. And speaking of playoffs, so tonight, Dodgers, Braves, Dodgers playing for their playoff lives and, you know, playing for their season and, you know, down 3-1. And it's Max Fried, Joe Kelly. Are they doing a bullpen game again? They're doing a bullpen game? Ugh. Well, I have something to talk about on tomorrow's show. Fun. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Now you can make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both past and present, and it's free and available on all platforms. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans and baseball fans. We'd really appreciate it. So enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you tomorrow.